Chapter 19. Justinian's War. Noise, chaos, smoke. Justinian's head rang. He was lying on his back, pinned by a fallen stanchion. Warning runes blinked in his retinal display. Chimes bleated, mingling with the sounds of disorder that filled the Crossway fort. The pressure on his chest eased. A figure, in scratched bone and blue armor, threw aside the jagged metal and reached a hand down.
"Brother Sergeant," said the warrior.
Justinian shook the fog from his mind. He grasped the offered hand and was hauled to his feet, his stabilization jets firing to aid his recovery.
"Brother Brucellus," said Justinian.
Already he was checking over his armor systems and silencing its alarms.
"My thanks."
Sound from outside his armor was becoming faint. His sensorium alerted him to low oxygen levels. The floor was canted at a sharp angle. The room had been badly deformed by impact. The tower was bent and their strong point had crumpled. The firing slits were crushed shut, obscuring the view of the corridors outside. Large slabs of the ceiling had come down, killing many of the unmodified humans. Their broken bodies lay about, leaking vitae. Severed limbs collected in drifts in the deformed corners of the room. Broken cabling spat sparks. Pipes hissed a mixture of gases. Alarms blared from the unseen outside, growing quieter with every second.
"Atmosphere's failing out there," Donasto said.
Sergeant Amarillo looked up from the corpse of one of his warriors. His armor was battered, and the signum array atop his backpack had snapped, hanging from its mount on a twist of metal and a braid of wire.
"A hit like that made a hole too big to plug. They will be sealing the station kilometers back from here. This whole section will vent itself into the void soon. We are probably trapped."
Amarillo gave his warrior one last check. He lifted the end of the shattered heavy bolter the Nova Marine had been carrying. The trooper's modified backpack was cracked open. Bolt shells glinted amid the mess of the ammo feed. He dropped the weapon.
"All of you, log his position," he said to the surviving three men of his squad. "Whoever lives through this is to ensure the apothecaries are aware of where he lies, so they may retrieve his gene seed."
Dying Astra Militarum soldiers moaned around Justinian. He ignored them. There was nothing he could do for them. He brought up his tactical overlay, activating the status screens for his warriors. The retinal display jumped a bit, settling down as his cogitator reconfigured itself. His men had been lucky. Most bore marks on their armor, and some had to be dragged out of the wreckage, but the damage to their weapons and battle plate was minimal. Green dominated their system statuses, touched with amber. Only Achilleos was harmed. He sat examining his crushed left arm as dispassionately as if it were a broken gun. His vambrace was breached in several places, spattered with blood and dribbling sealant foam. Justinian went to his side. Achilleos looked up.
"It is not making a seal," he said.
He peered at his injured limb critically.
"The plate's too badly compromised." "Then fall back," Justinian told him. "Go to the apothecarian on deck Theta 19. "He will not make it," Amarillo called over. "There is no clear way through. He would be better remaining here." "I am not staying here," said Achilleos.
He got to his feet.
"If this will not seal, I will cut off my arm at the elbow. Let it seal there. The work of a minute."
He half drew his combat knife.
"Very well," said Justinian. "That will be an awkward cut. Pimento, aid him."
The rest of the Space Marines gathered around the two sergeants. Justinian's squad intermingled with the Devastators they had been assigned to protect, the Primaris Marines standing tall over their older comrades.
"We have been hit hard," voxed Maxentius Drontio. "The mortals are shaken."
He looked over to the seven Astra Militarum survivors in the room. They wore void helmets and heavy combat suits, but they were far more vulnerable than the Space Marines. Sweaty faces looked out through yellow plastic faceplates. A dozen more had been killed by the room's collapse. Those that were not already dead would be soon. The unharmed were brave, but Justinian did not rate their chances in the coming fight.
"Where is your squad leader?"
Justinian asked. One of them nodded at a corpse with its head crushed beneath a fallen ventilator.
"Who is in charge, then?"
The man shrugged.
"Well volunteered. Approach me," he said.
The man came over.
"Give me your name," asked Justinian. "I am Tesseran," he said. "You are responsible for the others," said Justinian.
It was not a question. Tesseran nodded, reluctantly accepting the role.
"If you say so, my lord, what are we going to do?"
The Space Marines ignored him.
"Has anyone heard from the lieutenant?" asked Amarillo. "All but my squadvox is out."
He looked over his shoulder at the shattered lenses of his sighting unit.
"This throne-forsaken thing is just weight. What about you, Sergeant? Let's see if this much-praised Mark X armor of yours is as good as they say."
Justinian tried, scanning over every vox frequency.
"Squad Paris, 5th Company, reporting. Heavy damage in our section. Awaiting orders."
Ghastly moans and the constant humming of flies were his only response.
"Nothing," he said, shutting off the vox link. "The Crossway Fort is compromised. We are no use to anyone in this box. I propose we get out. First order of business. Orders can wait." "First order of business," repeated Amarillo. "Odd turn of phrase." "My father was a merchant. What of it?" said Justinian. "Do you concur or not, Brother Sergeant?"
He put too much emphasis on brother for it to be sincere.
"Of course I agree," said Amarillo.
He unclamped a melter flask from his waist.
"I was hoping to use this on the enemy. It will get us out of here instead."
He examined the room for a moment, looking for the best place to sight the device.
"Here,"
he said, running his hand over part of the wall that now faced downwards.
"We will have to jump."
He slapped the charge to the wall and stepped back.
"You, soldiers," he said to the remaining Astra Militarum, "do not look at the light."
The melter bomb went off with a roar, the one-use fusion reactor inside turning a man-sized portion of the wall into steam and slag. Molten metal dripped away into darkness. As soon as the gap was made, the air rushed out. The glowing, ragged hole was an appropriate frame for the devastation outside. The fort was a ruin. The pair of towers on the far side of the square had vanished into a chasm of shattered metal. The footings of their own remained firm, but only 10 meters away, the deck shelved steeply away into a mess of scrap. The other tower in their pair had been crushed as flat as a stamped-on ration tin, Gallatin's roof pushed down onto it and sealing the circular corridor in that direction. Emergency lumens provided a modicum of light, but many of them were broken. The majority of the illumination came from strobing flashes down the radial corridor. Justinian's suit light snapped on. Cones of light projected from around his eye lenses pushed back the dark.
"The station's open to the void,"
Justinian voxed the others. The station shook with fresh impacts.
"Those are too gentle for explosions," said Maxentius Strontio. "Borders," said Amarillo. "If we are caught here, we are dead."
The tower shuddered. The Space Marines swayed as its weight shifted. Metal ground on metal, conveying its pain through the soles of their boots.
"We have to get down, now," said Amarillo.
The climb was arduous for the soldiers, and the Nova Marines were forced to help them down. When they finally gained the wrecked square, they discovered the radial corridor in the direction of the rim was also impassable.
"Two choices,"
said Amarillo, as they skirted the chasm cutting through the crossway.
"Head inwards or head around."
They reached safer ground without incident, and there Justinian re-established patchy vox contact. Requests for aid were coming from the central hub of the station, fighting their way past buzzing interference patterning and the cacophony of moans. Though not directly commanded, Justinian and Amarillo agreed to take these as their orders, and the Nova Marines set out without delay away from the rim towards the centre of the starfort. The damage to that part of Gallatin was massive. Though the Corwood radial corridor could be travelled, it was open to the freezing void in many places, and airless throughout. The rain of constant impacts on their part of the station eased, being replaced by the distant quakes of explosions and the more measured reports of Gallatin's own weapons batteries. They were safe from unheralded death cast out by a distant void ship, but that was small comfort. The enemy was targeting other parts of Gallatin because their troops had landed close by. They moved at a cautious pace, their weapons ready. Amarillo's devastators went first, their bulky heavy bolters primed for fully automatic fire. The Astra Militarum marched among them. It was not long before they encountered their enemy. Cadrian was scouting ahead. Without atmosphere, they could not hear battle before they came upon it. Eyes were needed to see when ears could not hear, but the corridor was buckled in several places, obscuring clean lines of sight. The first notice they had were new tremors in the deck plating.
"Combat," said Amarillo, glancing at his feet. "Advance cautiously," said Justinian.
They sent the Astra Militarum to the rear. Justinian's squad advanced in a fan ahead of Squad Amarillo, screening the heavy bolters. As they approached a crumpled hill of decking, the tremors grew in intensity. Cadrian ran up the hill, bounding effortlessly over its tortured floor. As he neared the top, he slowed and ducked low. He stopped.
"Sergeant," he voxed.
Justinian patched into Cadrian's battleplate autosensors. The hillock ended in a low cliff of sheared metal. A crevasse at its foot led down into darkness, lit by actinic discharge. Beyond it, the corridor was untouched. There, a minor wayspace opened up off the radial way, though minor only on Gallatin's terms. In the ceiling over the foot of the cliff, the blunt mouth of an assault ram came in at an angle. A group of around a dozen plague marines were dug into the debris on the near side of the chasm. On the other side, Astra Militarum tanks formed a barrier across the way, leading deeper into the station. Most of the vehicles were dead, their hatches blown and weapons hanging loose in their mountings, but 100 men in armored void suits still blasted away at the enemy. A number of dead traitors were heaped in the center of the corridor, but those that remained were more than a match for that number of mortals.
"They will not last long," voxed Cadrian.
He hid himself carefully while he watched.
"What do you see?" asked Amarillo. "A dozen traitors attacking Astra Militarum," said Justinian. "We are behind them. We can take them by surprise."
"Then we engage," said Amarillo.
Without asking for further intelligence, he summoned his men to him, and they marched up the incline. Justinian's men followed. At the brow of the newborn hill, the way was crushed down to a few dozen meters across. The broken bedding of the station monorail had been wrenched from its bed and thrown widthways across the corridor. It made a serviceable barricade. Amarillo had the decency to hold fire until Justinian's men were in place. Their Astra Militarum followers hunkered down by the heavy bolters.
"We shall take up position forward of you to keep them off your men. Cover our advance," said Justinian.
Amarillo considered.
"Their swiftest route to victory, but it will be costly. It would be better to establish a firing line where Brother Cadrian waits."
"We cannot afford to become involved in protracted firefight," said Justinian. "We must get through to the center. The enemy are occupied. We can be among them before they know we are here. If we advance your gunners too close, the chances are they will spot us. Wait until we are upon them before opening fire."
"Then go. May Lucretius Corvo guide your hand."
The blessing was unfamiliar to Justinian, but he was grateful for the sentiment.
"Squad, advance," he said.
His 9 space marines fell in after him as he scrambled down the cliff. The traitors were intent on the guardsmen, and they were not noticed until they opened fire. The plague marines were well sheltered by debris and the corridor mouths. Only one died to Squad Paris's opening fusillade. The moment they took to react to being outflanked allowed Justinian's squad to advance a further 10 meters. Bolt gun fire was quickly retrained from the Astra Militarum onto the space marines. Cadrian went down, blood spraying from his wrecked chest. Pimento followed quickly after, his faceplate smashed in. Then the flashburn of heavy bolt propellant speckled Justinian's vision as Amarillo's squad opened fire and drove the plague marines back into cover, and Squad Paris advanced without further losses. The enemy were caught, and they knew it. Ignoring the Astra Militarum at their back, they lumbered from their hiding places. Lasbolts flashed on their mouldering ceramite, doing nothing but heating the plate, and they moved in to engage. There were more than Justinian had counted, 20 or so. They drew rusted knives and fired their bolt guns one-handed. Three of the enemy were riddled with heavy bolts as they charged, yellow fluids bursting out of their decaying armor. Brother Drusus went down in return. An ugly brute who was managing not to suffocate in the airless passage, despite the fact his helm was corroded through and his breathing grill missing, raised a dripping axe in open challenge to Justinian. Another space marine from a more choleric lineage might have charged to accept. Justinian placed pragmatism over honor. Justinian switched his target to his challenger, placing half a dozen well-aimed shots into the plague marine. Only three penetrated, so far as he could see, but that should have been enough. However, the traitor did not go down, but slogged on, even though his flesh and battle plate were cratered by the bolt's explosions. Amarillo's heavy bolters had a more noticeable effect, mowing down several of the plague marines, but they were targeted in response, and one of them was felled by concentrated bolter fire, and the aim of the remainder spoiled as they sought better cover. The Death Guard heaved themselves over the rucks in the decking. Two more died before they could connect. Then they hit the Primaris Marines with the weight of an avalanche. The battle fragmented. Synthetic hormones flooded Justinian's system, speeding his reactions and slowing time a little. But these foes were sprung from the same roots as he. They possessed those same abilities, and more were given them by their dark gods. Melee became a grunted, bludgeoning whirl of blade and fist. A tentacle slapped across Justinian's face, acidic secretion etching the armor glass of his eye lenses. He rammed his shoulder into the mutated owner, throwing him down. A pig-faced helm stared up at him. Justinian stamped it flat with two strikes of his boot. There was a clang, and he was knocked sideways. The traitor, without the breathing grill, flashed across his vision, and Justinian recovered to face him. The creature's rusted sword hurtled at his face. Bolts slammed into the plague marine, blowing out its distended stomach and showering Justinian with its filth. Amarillo was coming down the hill, the surviving Astra Militarum from the tower and his two remaining troopers with him. The fight was over. The last plague marine fell silently. Slowly, Justinian's biochemical balances returned to normal.
"Ghastly," voxed Amarillo.
Nearly half Justinian's squad were down. Dacine joined Drusus, Cadrian, and Pimento in death. The survivors went about their tasks without emotion. Maxentius Drontio was helping take Dacine's vambrace to replace Achilios's broken armor component and protect his wound. From behind the wrecked tanks, the Astra Militarum waved their guns in victory.
"Come on," said Amarillo. "We have a long walk ahead."